Well, we want to talk about the impact that women are having on midterm elections this year. And it turns out that for the first time, as we said, in nearly three decades, we could actually see a decrease in the number of women holding office in Congress, which is depressing.
And the headline races aren't necessarily indicative of the overall national trends. I mean, there's a lot of people getting attention who it's not clear what sort of influence they're going to have politically.
Or their chances in the midterm elections in the end. But it is clear.
It's a puzzle.
It is clear as we get some of these polls, because we're less than 3 weeks away, as the polls are coming in, it's clear that women are most likely going to make a big difference when it comes to the votes themselves. Well, here to talk about it, we've got our friend Michael Scheer, chief political reporter for the Caucus blog at our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing well, thanks. And also we've got Cheryl Gay Stolberg, the White correspondent for the Times. Good morning, Cheryl.
White correspondent, but I'm actually the White House correspondent. Good morning.
Oops. They have a white correspondent at the Times? That's news.
Black ones too,
what do white people think of Christine O'Donnell? Well, let's start off with Christine O'Donnell, because this I call this sort of the Palin effect in Delaware. People were expecting a train wreck from Christine O'Donnell, and that's not what she delivered last night.
Uncle Sam has no business coming in the examination room, coming between you and your doctor, and that's exactly what this bill does.
Give some concrete example of how. That's a great slogan. You toss it around everywhere you go.
All right. So, what, Michael? Let's start with you first. What did you take away from this debate between Coons and O'Donnell in Delaware last night?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. She was very aggressive from the moment the debate started. She clearly wanted to present a different image than has been the caricature on Saturday Night Live of her talking. We've all seen her as a young woman on these Bill Maher's comedy shows. Now she wanted to present, a real aggressive, very, sort of confronting all of the big issues. I must say she sort of came away, you came away having a sense that on a lot of these issues, it was very much the kind of traditional conservative answer. But she got it out there, and she was aggressive, and she tried to put Chris Coons on the defensive every time she could.
Well, Cheryl, let's talk about the way in which women are maybe changing their message. And I've been really interested in a lot of the coverage coming out. And you've been covering the First Lady as she travels to stump for candidates. First, let's talk about the popularity of the First Lady, and then how that's playing out when she gets to the campaign trail. Does her popularity among the people of the country translate into her being an effective campaigner?
Well, the White House is certainly hoping that it will. The First Lady is clearly the most popular member of the Obama administration, and she came back out onto the campaign trail Wednesday with a very personal kind of soft sell appeal intended to push Democrats, especially women, to the polls. She spoke in terms of her role as a mother and as a daughter. She talked about issues like health care and energy investments and especially education. And it's a push really designed to get the female vote out for Democrats in states where Democrats are either running a little behind or neck and neck.
All right. Well, Michael, let me ask you this, because one of the things that I've been surprised to see in some of the polls is the gulf, I guess, between women and their male counterparts in terms of who they're going to vote for. Women are probably going to end up making a difference in Washington, Delaware, West Virginia, Wisconsin in terms of who they'll vote for. And in Connecticut, it's really interesting because Linda McMahon's, he owes his, her opponent, Blumenthal, owes his lead in the race to women. He's tied among the men, but he has a double-digit lead among Connecticut women, even though Linda McMahon, if she were elected, would become the first female senator in the state's history. What's going on with women voters?
Well, to some extent, women voters are no different than others, which is to say that they are, they can be turned off or turned on by, to a particular candidate by their, by traits they like or don't. And in what it appears to be going on in Connecticut is that women have been somewhat put off by Linda McMahon's very aggressive attacks. When you read through the statements that women voters are making, it's things like, she's attacking so much. She's trying to buy the election. Of course, Ms. McMahon is very wealthy. So, to some extent, it appears that at least in that race, some of the activities that Ms. McMahon has been engaging in this election have really turned women off.
Well, here's another race in which women are playing kind of a big role, and that's in California with Barbara Boxer and Carly Fiorina.
Barbara Boxer holds a very extreme view that taxpayers should pay for any abortion anytime, anywhere, for any reason.
Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. My opponent says she would, quote, absolutely vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, what does it mean? It means that women and doctors could be put in jail in any state of the union. That is the fact.
That is two strong female candidates discussing a topic, abortion, which has often been labeled as something that women voters respond to. How is candidates like this playing out for women? Is there a gulf, as I was saying? Am I wrong? Is there a gulf between how women voters are responding to somebody like Barbara Boxer?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a gulf in that particular race or not. One of the interesting things that this, that California points out and is going on all over the country is that you could very well see a shift from Democratic women in the Congress to Republican women. I mean, if the Republican candidates win, for example, in that race, and then you have, Linda McMahon we talked about in Connecticut, you have Sharon Angle in Nevada, you have Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, there are a bunch of Republican women, and so if that, if they're successful, you could very well see not only a kind of overall reduction of the number of women in Congress, but a shift to the Republican side as well.
Well, Cheryl Gay Stolberg, let me ask you, I mean, very often the First Lady enjoys a certain amount of popularity that her politician husband may not. But is the soft touch that you spoke about that Michelle Obama is using, is that an answer to what Michael was saying is turning off voters in Connecticut, the personal attacks, the kind of vitriolic campaign that Linda McMahon, some say, is running?
Well, just very quickly, I think it is. I think women respond to these issues, sort of kitchen table issues. And also, you should note that Michelle Obama will be out there campaigning for Barbara Boxer. Michelle Obama will also be going today, Thursday, to campaign for Senator Michael Bennet, who is one of the few candidates who's actually put up a pro-choice ad in his campaign designed especially to appeal to suburban women. We won't see Michelle Obama talk about issues as divisive as abortion, but they are clearly deploying her to try to boost the female vote for these Democratic candidates. Democratic strategists say women don't necessarily vote Democratic.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they vote. Cheryl Gay Stolberg, White House correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and Michael Shear, who's the chief political reporter for the Caucus blog at The Times.